The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Studio with me is Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. And Luke, it seems that you've tracked down the origins of life on Earth.
I wouldn't say that quite, but there's evidence. Yeah, so they found this asteroid, which contains the building blocks of life, amino acids and various component parts. And that it's suggesting, actually, that life might have been seeded from outer space by an asteroid striking into the Earth.
You know, when an asteroid strikes the Earth, it becomes, it's not called an asteroid anymore once it stops flying. So this was still flying when they sampled it.
Well, this is amazing. Yeah, in 2020, NASA sent up a probe to land on this asteroid and take a sample and then sent the sample back to Earth. They had suspicions there might be sort of building blocks of life on this asteroid anyway. They could use various imaging technologies. And lo and behold, they sent a spacecraft. Amazing feat, can you imagine?
Sure.
Landing on the asteroid, taking the sample, coming back to the Earth, swinging around the Earth, and it was dropped by parachute and lands in the desert in Utah. And they collect the sample.
How big is the asteroid?
Oh, it's a huge thing, yeah. There's a parent asteroid that's about a kilometre across, and this thing broke off from it. So it's not that big, I guess. I think it's the size of a football field, that kind of scale.
Okay, but still a tiny target.
It's still tiny, yeah. So the NASA claimed at the time, in 2020, this was a great feat of engineering to target this thing. It's still moving, remember, as well. So it was a real achievement.
So one of the problems is when you send anything from Earth up to outer space, there's the possibility of contamination.
Well, this is the next fear. So this thing lands in about the size of a bar of soap, by the way, Pat, was the sample it took, right?
Okay.
Lands in the desert. Now, to take that sample had to be pristine because of fear you might contaminate the thing with bacteria or whatever it is. They've done this before, so they knew exactly how to contain it and not contaminate it just in case. And then they take the sample and then they find these really interesting things called amino acids, for instance. So the evidence that these building blocks were on it are compelling, you know?
So what happens is they got this little bar of soap size sample. It's loaded into some kind of pristine container.
Yeah.
And then dropped by parachute.
That's it.
And thereupon, when they seize it, they have to be careful not to contaminate it at that point.
That's the trick. Yeah, exactly. To make sure that their experiments are misinterpreted, which can happen, you know. And they managed to do this, and they could show they did this. And what they found, Pat, was fantastic. Now, I teach our students this thing, by the way, the origin of life on Earth. It's a big question, isn't it, that we all wonder. It was about 4 billion years ago, we think, the first cell arose from the fossil record. Now, we know what cells are made of. They're made of proteins. And they're made of amino acids. They find 14 of the 20 amino acids on this bar of soap equivalent, which is remarkable. In other words, those amino acids now are seeded on the Earth. Even more importantly, DNA has building blocks as well. And they found the 5 building blocks of nucleic acids on this sample as well. So that means the 2 key building blocks for life were detectable on this piece of asteroid.
So is the theory that's going to evolve from this that life on Earth, and Earth was some rocky nothing, and an asteroid crashes in that has this set of materials, which then somehow generate everything we have on Earth?
That's the next challenge, in a way. How could these simple enough chemicals, really, how could they combine now into a living system? But people say it's no coincidence, in a sense, that they find this stuff. Now, the thing is, Pat, that asteroid dates from 4.5 billion years ago. So one idea would be a bit broke off, potentially, and then hit the Earth. And now you've got the building blocks on Earth that can assemble. Now, the assembly might have taken a million years or more through chemistry, you know. But the fact that those building blocks were there, it's not unreasonable to say these could begin assembling into the first cell is the idea.
Yeah, but you know that idea that if in a modern car you have 5,000 parts and you throw them into a space and say, eventually it'll become a car, or the monkey writing
Shakespeare.
The works of Shakespeare.
Right, yes.
You know. So that's the, you know, where is the spark that ignites, if you like, the process?
Well, it can take hundreds of millions of years of the monkeys typing Shakespeare, you see, in this case, you know. So the time frame would be millions of years randomly, and eventually you get this first cell to form. That's the key question. One puzzle is, Pat, why wasn't life found on this thing? Because if the building blocks are there, and it's 4.5 billion years
old.
Plenty of time, yeah. And they don't know. They think, oh, we don't know. Maybe there's other bits that are missing here. The other very important thing, but it's water. Now, water is the key fluid for life. There was water on this asteroid. They've got good evidence for that. We know water gets delivered from space anyway. So some of the water source might have been from these asteroids as well. And then it's also got things called phosphates, which are very important for life. Ammonia was found. So the people who researched this said, you know, there's so many ingredients for life on this asteroid that it's not unreasonable to think that it or something like it was the thing that happened.
Now, it's not just one team of mad scientists doing the analysis. They decided to split the sample up, small though it was.
They did. Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's great science, Pat. First of all, remember, this is high-level science of the highest order. 66 scientists in total were on this team of investigators. And what they'd repeat each other's work. They'd make sure the other guy is getting his experiments correct and, you know, dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. So we can be confident in the analysis.
So when they split the material up into different teams, they would expect each team to to find the same.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, there could be specialists within each team. Like maybe the ammonia guy was given the task of, is there ammonia on this, for instance. The second great thing, Pat, is that it was salty, you see. Mm. And of course, salt, again, like the sea, is the great solvent to allow chemical reactions to happen. And they found so many minerals and salts on this. Again, it's another ingredient. And again, someone in the team would have been given the task of looking for the minerals.
Now, some other good news, there may be another Earth-like planet not too far away.
Well, it's a funny way. It's like two buses come along the same time, Pat, about life. Now you see there's been a theory that there must be life somewhere else in the universe, because it's just a chemistry thing, really, you know. And given that there are billions of stars and many billions of planets.
Again, it's the monkey theory.
It's the monkey theory, precisely. Yeah. And lo and behold, they found another exoplanet. And these are planets that you can see going around some star. The question is it in what's called the habitable zone, like the Earth? We're in a perfect position for life, you see. It's not too hot. They call it Goldilocks effect. Yeah. It's not too hot and it's not too cold. And then these biochemicals can do their job. And they found another one, Pat. And it's a really good one. It's got the catchy name of HD20794. But it's six times the size of the Earth, first of all, much bigger. But it's in the habitable zone around its particular star. And they're very excited about this, Pat, because they're now training all the telescopes on this. And maybe they get more evidence now for these what are called biosignatures. Now, will they say little green men? That seems, it's 20 light years away.
That means that what I'm seeing, if I look through my really high power telescope, happened 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's the trouble. That's so far away. But it turns out that 20 light years isn't that far in the cosmos. We'd never get there. Elon Musk will never get there, by the way. It's too far. But you can begin to think of a space mission now, like Voyager, to go into deep space and now look at that exoplanet. The closer you get, obviously, the easier it is to see things. So now NASA are saying, let's focus our telescopes on this exoplanet.
Can we see structures or anything that might indicate this life there.
You never know. You might see even radio waves. Well, they always have radio waves coming off these things, but as evidence of intelligent life. But because they can use clever methods, they can look for, these biochemicals. If they can detect some of these things on that exoplanet, again, there's a chance that the conditions and the chemistry was right for life to evolve.
So but the problem is, in order to get there, we'd have to be traveling at the speed of light for 20 years for humankind to reach there.
Has Elon Musk claimed he can do that? Yeah, but you never know. He might get there. But you're right, though. We'll never get there with the current technology. Yeah. But can you imagine, Pat, if evidence is very strong, there's life on that exoplanet? Yet again, our position in the universe is lessened. We're not that special after all. You know, there is life elsewhere. You know,
and also the flying saucer nuts will emerge in spades then.
They will. They will indeed. Yeah.
All right, fascinating stuff. Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Thank you very much for joining us. Next.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.